Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a fellow who was born and raised in this community. He went on to become our mayor. His name, Sammy Corman. We'll be talking to his wife, Nancy, about his life and what he meant to our community right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning. Well, it is our honor today to talk to a lady who has been in our county for several years, and her husband also is one of the focuses of this program. We're going to talk today to Nancy Swope Corman. And Nancy's husband was Sam Corman, who was a mayor here in Nicholasville. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you came in, and we're interested in talking about your family and Sam and some of the things that he did for our community and getting it to where it is today. Let's start by saying that Sam Corman, fellow that a lot of people in this community knew for a lot of years because he was from here. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Sam, maybe who his parents was and his start here in the world.
Well, his parents were Stanley and Maddie Stipes Corman, and grandmother from here in Nicholasville was Maud Watts. She married a Corman first, and then she married a Ray. And after that, they stayed here. Most of the time, they stayed in Jessamine County.
Yeah.
And Sammy was born in 1938, and
that was
the only child.
He was the only child.
He was the only child.
So he wasn't spoiled at all.
So no. Oh, no.
Now, was his dad a musician?
Stanley was a musician, and he had the first country music program on Channel 18.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he played places like Renfro Valley and other musical venues, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He played a lot. And he had a program on Saturday.
Yeah,
I think it was Saturday at Channel 18 also. And
I think I've actually seen a picture of that group
and
with Stanley in it. And it seemed like, did Bill Laney announce for him or something like that?
At one time, yes, he sure did. And, oh, my goodness, he had players in the band from all over. And Enos was one of them at one time.
Little Enos. I hadn't heard that name in a long time. My goodness.
I'm surprised I remember that.
Now, was bluegrass?
No, it was strictly country time.
Yeah.
And, of course, country got better. And he played at all the functions that they had around here and out of town, I don't know if he ever actually went out of state unless he did go to Ohio or someplace, Indiana, someplace like that. Yeah, he was well known.
Well, that's what I started to say. For Sammy's benefit on down the road in later years, that was a big help that his dad was known like that.
Oh, yeah.
Not only in our little community, but communities around, because he, to be on Channel 18 back in those days, you were a star.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did Sam have any of that musical talent?
No, he sure did not.
Really?
And neither did my son Greg, but Mark still plays to this day.
Yes, he
and Mark's son plays.
Is that
Seth,
right?
Seth played in a band. Mark's working with one right now.
Yeah.
And Seth, he just likes to get his guitar out and pick it and play.
But Sammy couldn't at all.
He couldn't play nothing but ball.
And that's interesting. It's funny how talent like that sometimes does skip generations. My brother and I, the only thing we could draw was a paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have any of that, but some of my kids do. It's a funny how it can skip.
Exactly.
So he was born, been here all his life, graduated from, now, did he graduate from the old Nicholasville High?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Nicholasville High, before it became Jessamine County High. And he was a big ball player back then.
Yes, he played all three sports, basketball, football, and baseball. He was a pitcher in baseball, and he was the center in football, and he started in the eighth grade.
Now, Sammy was pretty broad. He was broad. Was he always like that growing up? Was he a pretty big-boned fella?
He was sort of thick, but no, he's usually skinny, sort of skinny.
Really?
Yeah, I've got some pictures that you might not recognize him.
Well, I did see a picture of him one time. In fact, I think it was in an old church directory, and his hair was still dark. And it looks so odd to see him like that, because most people that remember Sam remember that white hair that he had.
Yeah.
And so we can't tend to forget that at some point in time, it wasn't always that way.
No. When I first met him, he had a flat top.
Yeah.
And you could look on top of his head and you could see some gray hairs coming in. But you couldn't tell it at that time. And that was when he was about 16.
So you caused all that.
I did. No, his mama was also that way.
Really?
She was prematurely gray. Yes.
Well, let's talk about, before we get into the how you all got together, let's talk about you. Your family, your parents, where did you come from?
I came from Lexington, and my daddy was H.B. Swope, mm-hmm. and his name was Henderson Burdett, but he said he always called it Hamburger, and everybody called him H.B.
Yeah.
And Mama was Nancy. She was a tutor from Madison County, and she came here to go to Fugazi, and somehow or another met my dad. Dad was like a jack of all trades, and he, at that time, he knew people. When he went to find jobs downtown, mm-hmm. they all worked, and all the guys were all there and talked and met. And it's surprising how you realize some of your friends today's daddy knew my daddy.
Yeah.
They all knew each other at that time.
What did your dad do?
My dad, in the beginning, was a butcher, and then he went to putting in washer and dryers for laundromats that came out. Then he got into laying tile, all kinds of tile, the ceramics and the big floor tiles things. And that's what started his circulation went bad in his legs and knees. And
started
he
some medical
lost
problems. Well, now, did you all always live in Lexington, or did you move to Nicholasville?
We moved to Nicholasville in my sophomore year, which was 1954.
So you moved down here while you were in school. And is that how you met Sammy?
Yes. Okay. Daddy bought a small farm on Catnip Hill and built a house. And I just really was upset because I wasn't going to get to go to Henry Clay.
Yeah.
And
coming to that little podunk Nicholasville.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I said, he said, well, if I didn't like it, that he would pay my tuition back to Lafayette.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to go back to Lafayette. I wanted to go back to Henry Clay, right, where I was supposed to go into.
Right.
But he said, well, you go one day, and if you don't like it, we'll see what we can do.
But one day must have worked.
One day worked. I mean, I just sort of fell right in with, well, I'll go back a little bit. Billy Walker was raising Daddy's tobacco crop that first year.
Now, that's Bobby Walker's brother.
Right, Bobby's brother.
Yeah.
And Billy was raising the tobacco crop, and they had already talked. Daddy and him had talked, and he said his sisters were going to school and would be in the same grade.
Right.
And they would look me up. He'd tell them to look me up.
Okay.
Well, it was in Henrietta and Betty Sue. And when I got there that morning, my sister took me in. And outside, the boys hung out and sat on the edge of the building. And when I walked in the door, somebody hollered Suey at me.
Suey?
Yeah. And I don't know what that meant. I mean, it sounds bad, but evidently it meant something. I hope it meant something better.
At that time, what did you think?
You
didn't know what to think.
No, and I didn't know who said it.
Did you find out?
I did.
It wasn't Sam.
Yeah, it was.
And you know,
did I fool him?
Well, but I'm just sitting here thinking, and knowing Sam as I did, I'm sure he came up with a great story to cover up for why he said that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So surprising, when I got into my home room that they sent me to, which was in the library itself, there sat Sammy, Betty Sue, Sheila.
Sheila McCuddy.
Sheila McCuddy. And I think Margaret Ann Bruner.
Yeah.
We ended up just...
That was the group.
...hooking up. Yeah, that was the group.
How long after that was it you found out it was Sammy that said it? That day?
I don't remember. It might have been. I don't think it was that day. It might have been. Who knows?
Well, if that's the case, how did you ever go out with him to start with? I mean, I guess you figured out it was a good thing.
We all jumped in a car one night to go to Starlight.
Yeah.
That was our only
drive-in. And that was a long
drive-in.
Way away. Sure.
Yeah, that was our only drive-in. That was, you know, considered Nicholasville's drive-in.
Right. That was evidently before Hayden's? Hayden Lanes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So then you had to go all the way to Lexington. And I mean, a long way to Lexington.
Two-lane highway. And, oh, my gosh, could I tell you some stories?
Well, and you know, back then, Nancy, much different than it is today, when you went on a date, most of the times that meant 7-8 people going together.
Everybody go. Yes, exactly,
yeah.
Right.
You teamed up and you all went together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you went by yourselves, that was a special date, I guess.
And well, yeah. And one time, this is, isn't it funny what you remember when you start thinking about it? But he came out and picked me up. We were going to go over to the drive-in, which was real close, the Lexington drive-in. Right. And we had a flat tire on the way on Catnip Hill. Well, it was cold. I mean, it was chilly.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't have a light, flashlight. You know, he didn't have anything, right, of course. But he had a bunch of Stanley's advertisements with the band pictures on.
Right.
We started fire with those so he could have light to change that tire.
Yeah, necessity is the mother of invention. I mean, you got to do something.
It was funny.
Well, when if you can remember, how did it all come together that it's, you know, let's just get married?
Oh, well, I had a sister. I also had a sister. Uh-huh. And she and Mom, we broke up. I'll have to go back again.
Yeah.
And which you did on and off all through high school. And his mom worked at Lexington Laundry with a really good friend of hers. Mm-hmm. And his mom got me a date with her nephew that just got out of the Navy.
Yeah.
So she called me, wanted to know if I would go. Mm-hmm. And didn't have anything else to do.
Sure.
I said, sure.
Sure.
So I went to a movie with him. And after the movie, he said, you want to go up to Jerry's and get something to drink?
Yeah.
So Jerry's on Main Street up there across from Henry Clay High School.
Yeah.
Of course, that was a big hangout for everybody. We drove in and, you know, had got us a Coke or whatever. And all of a sudden, he said, isn't that Sammy sitting across from us?
You just couldn't get rid of like a bad nickel.
That's right. And it sure was.
That's something.
He said, well, are you okay staying here? I said, sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we just stayed there for a little while. And then he said, you about ready? So we left. The next, that must have been on a Saturday night. Because on Sunday, he called, wanted to know if he could come out.
Yeah.
Sammy did.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, if you want to. It's up to you. So he came out, sit down in a chair. And I was just standing up in front of the fireplace. It was cool. And he says, you want to get married?
Wow.
Yeah. He says, I didn't like seeing you with someone else last night.
So how long were you two married?
It would have been 50 years in March, and he died in February.
Almost 50 years.
We went together way over 50.
Seeing you at Jerry's, he didn't like that. Now,
with someone else.
At the time you all married, I understand that he had an opportunity to do something sports-wise, and he decided not to because you were getting married.
Because we did get married.
Yeah. What tell us about that.
Okay. He, of course, loved baseball.
Right.
And so anytime they had tryouts close by, which they had them in Cincinnati, they had them in different places, he would go try out, you know, and try to
try. We're talking about Cincinnati Reds.
Yes.
Pro ball team.
So he went to try out and everything, and then they had to wait for a little bit while all the coaches or people around there, you know, made a decision. And they came up with a decision and asked him that they were going to offer him a contract to play Class D ball.
Yeah.
Which you start out that way.
Right.
And he'd have to go to Florida. And he said, well, can I take my wife with me? And they said, no, afraid not. And he said, well, I just got married and I don't think I want to go. And when he came home and told me that, I was livid. I told him, I said, go.
Yeah.
I don't care. Go. I'll come down and visit once in a while, or you can come home once in a while. But I said, go. And he says, no. He didn't want to do that.
I'd rather be with you. And you got to respect that.
Yeah. Oh, I do. So then he ended up working for Square D.
Right.
He went to the Army first for 6 months. They had a 6 months deal at the time.
Uh-huh.
He was in the reserves, Army reserves here in town. It was a tank division. And he started in, I think, his junior year, going to reserves every month. And when he graduated, the contract was, you know, you go in active duty for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
When he graduated from high school, then he went in for 6 months, which he stayed at Fort Knox because it was a tank division.
Yeah.
And some of the others that he went with, which was from, he bunked with, was from Lexington, some of the guys. They got to be really good friends. And I thought, the best thing in the world for him is to get away from his mama, you know. And it was sort of funny. But all, everybody else was, you know, shipped out to Fort Chaffee or someplace else. And here Sam Corman gets to stay at Fort Knox.
What about that?
For the rest of the time. And he was driving the general or the colonel around or something at one time. I mean, he just had it, you know, too good.
Too good.
But I'm glad.
You know. And it worked out because not long after that, I guess the family kind of started.
Well, then after we got married in 1958.
Greg was born when? 61?
Greg was born in 61. And Mark was born in 63.
Yeah.
And hallelujah. All, you know, it all just breaks loose. Well, while he was working at Square D, he was on the softball team.
Yeah.
Played softball 2 and 3 nights a week. They won the region, the district, the state, I don't know how many times. And he played first base for them. And it was a big to-do back then. He wanted to leave. You know, he wanted to go better himself.
Right.
So there must have been an ad in the paper that he read or something, and it was for an insurance adjusting. And he had to go to Cincinnati for a week for training, and then he'd have to go to New York for 2 weeks, I think it was, for more training, and back to Cincinnati, I think, for a week, and then home. And then he would start doing claims, you know. So he took that job and went to all that training and everything.
And he was in that till he died, right?
And he was
in the insurance business.
Yes.
For a long time.
Yes.
But then something happened that stopped his softball playing days. Tell us about that.
He was mowing the grass and backed up against, we had a stairwell and it goes into our basement and a bank that went over down. We lived on a little dead-end street.
Yeah.
And he backed up against that stairwell and was closer than he thought. Pushed the lawnmower away. It wouldn't go, and it raised up, and his foot went under.
Oh, no.
So that's when he almost cut his big toe off, broke his instep bones and another toe or two, and was on crutches and for a long time. And this was right after he started the adjustment thing.
Now, at what point in time did he decide to run to be on the city council of Nicholasville? Do you remember that? Now, let me explain. The city council is different back then than the city commission now.
Yes.
Back then, the commission was somewhat like, well, to explain it, you have three different types. The city commission now, there's four people and they run citywide. Wilmore has a council with six, but they run citywide. But the one that Nicholasville had was districts, kind of like the magistrates on a fiscal court.
Exactly.
You had a part of town you were responsible for.
Exactly.
So that's when he was on the council back then, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would that have been, was Woody Grove mayor? Was that, do you remember, or was that Shelby?
Shelby.
Shelby Combs, okay.
Mm-hmm. Shelby Combs.
So what got him interested in doing that?
That I guess he thought he could make a difference.
Yeah. Now, he served as a councilman.
He served as a councilman for until they went into the commission form
of
government.
Commission form of government.
And then he won that.
Yeah.
And then he stayed on that for a few years.
Right.
In the meantime, I'm raising two kids.
you got the job. And then decides to go for mayor.
And then decides to, he's thought about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he kept asking different ones.
Right,
and checking,
right,
you know
right.
how you do. So then he asked me, and I said, if you want to do it, I think now's the time to do it.
Now, he was mayor after Billy Lockridge?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I had the pleasure of serving with Sammy on the city commission. Well, when he was mayor, I was on the city commission. And one thing I remember telling the Journal when he died is the one thing that really impressed me about Sammy. A couple of things. One, and at first I'll say to anybody, and Sammy would tell you the same thing, we didn't always agree on stuff.
Well, that isn't the way it worked.
You know,
Knew that.
And you don't always agree with him, and, you know, that's just the way the world is.
Right.
But I will say this. I think Sammy was as interested as anybody that ever served in making sure that Nicholasville progressed. He wanted what was best for our town.
Yes.
And another thing that he did that I always appreciated was when you're on the city commission, you're in charge of different departments. And he was very good about letting us as commissioners take care of our departments. If something came up, I had electric meters, that involved that, he'd say, hey, you need to go see Doug. We need to talk to him about this and see what he wants to do. And I always appreciated that he didn't micromanage. He let people do their jobs and do what they knew how to do. And that's the way it works the best.
Yeah.
Because it makes him look good. But I think Sam, honestly, in the whole time he was mayor of Nicholasville, truly wanted to see and do what was best for Nicholasville.
And, I know. Yeah that's exactly right. Because he was proud of his city.
Sure.
And he wanted it to be good, look good. He didn't want a whole lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Even though you have it. But, he was very interested in our city and our town.
You know,
that way with everything.
Yeah.
He was always very interested in all.
A lot of things happened under his watch. I guess one of the things that he probably, and I'm assuming here, was probably most proud of was the city pool. Because
well,
I know
so he jumped in it.
He ran on a platform to try to get that for a long time.
Yes, he did.
And he did. Yeah, when it finally opened, he fulfilled a promise. He jumped in while wearing a suit, the best I remember.
Yeah, he did take his shoes off. And the suit that he jumped in was an older suit that he wore a few years back. And when he got into that suit, it thrilled him to death, because he never dreamed he could get into it.
So what was another accomplishment that he was very proud of as mayor?
One of them that brings to mind is the new sewer plant they did. And at that time, they went to the commission, and him went to Florida to look at one that had just been put in.
Yeah.
And I think it was at Cocoa Beach, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, they came back and voted to put one in.
Right.
Finding a place to put it was one thing that didn't fall in a cave.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But that was a big thing for him.
Yeah.
He was very, very proud of that.
But you know, tragically, we lost Sammy too soon. What year was it he died?
He died in 2007.
And I remember that day, hearing that morning that it had happened and how shocked I was, and the community was too. He died the same year of my dad. I remember now, it's all coming back to me. And I remember the reaction that people had and how shocked they were that it had happened. But you know, while he was here, he contributed a lot to this community, especially to this town. You think he'd be pretty proud of where we are today?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think he probably had visions of maybe even something even bigger.
Yeah.
But now, I think now, at one time, he wasn't for the Brandon Crossing at all.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought it was too much for the city to have to take care
of.
But he would be very proud of it now. Yes.
I'll ask you a question that I've asked many other people that I've interviewed when I talk to them about their family. And it's kind of a hard question. One word, as Nancy the wife. One word. How would you describe Sam Cormier?
Oh, very likable. I mean, if that's the one word you want. Very
and that's true.
Likeable,
yeah.
But he's very soft-hearted.
He was.
Very soft-hearted.
Yes, he was.
Loved his grandkids.
Yeah.
I have four grandchildren. I have two great-grandchildren, little girls. I can't believe how the family has grown.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And how it progressed in the years that we had. And you never dream that it's going to be this big. And
well, you know, the thing about Sammy is, and you've had people tell you this, but you saw it up close. Sammy had a big impact on this community, and he served it well as mayor and councilman and just citizen. But he was active in sports and coaching, and I remember in civic organizations and things like that. The Corman family can be proud of the imprint that Sam put on our town. And one that will hopefully not be forgotten for a long time. And because of a lot of the work that he did then, you know, I call it the ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know, you do something now, you'd be amazed 10 years from now or 20 years from now how it still affects people.
Right.
And a lot of the things that he did back then still are affecting us today. And the progress that is being made and things like that. So, well, you did good work, and I appreciate you sharing a little bit about the life of Sam.
Oh, I could talk forever.
Oh, I know. And that's the bad thing about our program is we're limited on time, but we could talk for on and on. But hopefully the 30 minutes that people hear us talk about will bring up many, many memories for them.
yeah,
of him and his family.
I hope
family.
So.
He was a good fella. He was a memorable fella. He's one that when you met him, you did not forget him.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, got mad at him a few times, but I didn't forget him.
That's right. Nancy, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Nancy Corman for coming in and talking about her husband, Sam, and what he meant to this community. This is All Things Jessamine. We do it every Saturday morning at 11, and we hope you'll come back next week as we have another program for you. It's all right here on Jess FM, 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.